All right, let's open with a word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your grace. We just pray for clarity in this lesson. Pray for concentration on your word. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So we've left off talking about deception and deceit. And we see the contrast here in verse 7 to that deceit and deception, and that's righteousness. And righteousness for us is really what cuts the line, cuts right through the false, the deception. It cuts through any detouring, any luring in our lives, any sidetracking. And righteousness is what really I think we kind of just discussed in our inheritance lesson about the spiritual life. This is what it's all about. It's a day-to-day process of you consistently forming each day a little more and a little more to the mind of Christ. And that's what we all desire to come to and to think with as we move in that direction. So I wanted to go through Ephesians 4:17. And remember, this is titled The Christian Walk, but I wanted to look at it because, well, it's speaking to Christians about their spiritual walk, but it also mentions something about deception, about what deceives people. And I think this is kind of hits at the underlying reason for most people, and we need to take a look at it. So here's verse 22. It says that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. Now, one thing to note here is that being corrupted, you can see it in blue. You can see it's in the passive voice. And what this means is that the person is receiving the corruption. Keep that in mind. The word means to cause harm, to cause deterioration to the inner life, to ruin or to corrupt. So you're receiving this. And then you can see what's causing all of the harm, the lust of deceit. So if you're receiving this, do you see what's causing or what the underlying cause is? It's self. This is referring to the lust of your sin nature. Now, you may or may not realize it, but this, whether a new or a weak believer, or either case, can still be being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. Believe it or not, as a new believer, you are still being corrupted in the lust of deceit. That's all you know at that point, and that's all you default to when you are a new and or even growing believer. So you're still serving the flesh. But over time, what happened was you did just what this verse said. You laid aside the old self, and that's an important word. And well, first, God gave you the power over sin. He did that at salvation. He gave you His righteousness. But you notice there's a lot of Christians who have that power in them from God, but choose not to take control of their lives. They're saved. They have the power. They can defeat the sin, but they choose to still be involved with the lust of deceit. Now, that's an issue. But what happened to you over time, the only way to not be deceived is to know how to live in such a way to properly manage and minimize your sins. And that's what we do. Now, there's kind of a double thing happening here. You do part of that through fellowship. You can't stay in fellowship without truth. You got to have both. You can tell someone all day about confession, but it just won't work unless you have something already in your mind to think with and to get you going in that direction. So that's what happened. Over time, you learn how to properly manage and minimize the sin in your life. And where do we get this? From God's Word. That's where we get it. Otherwise, you'd continue to be deceived by your old sin nature and every other evil scheme that Satan throws at you. I mean, there's plenty of them. Drugs, immorality, lying, stealing, cheating, infidelity, sex outside of marriage, addictions. There's a lot of Christians involved in these kind of things. But they're just falling for the lust of deceit. See, their own sin nature is deceiving them, is what's happening. And they're going to that. They're choosing to go to that because they're not growing spiritually. They don't have enough truth to offset the false, the deceit of their own sin nature. It's like a big pendulum. And yes, Christians are very capable of every one of those sins and more. Now, the salvation by works bunch will tell you, oh, they were never saved to begin with. Now, the problem with that is that theory isn't based on how much, their theory is based on how much you sin or don't sin. But salvation is not based on how much you sin or how much you don't sin. So that should you should be well aware of that and already know that. But needless to say, when you are deceived by the lust of the flesh, it makes sense that you would believe salvation is by something you can do. Doesn't it? When you're deceived by your own sin nature, why wouldn't you think salvation is something you can do? Makes sense. If there's something that can glorify me or something that I can take credit for, live a good life for, then I'll take that path. So it kind of makes sense. But you see what's happening underlying? It's deception. They're deceived. Their own sin nature has deceived them. So, and Satan has deceived a lot of people into believing salvation is something they can earn or they can work for. And then the verse says, lay aside the old self. That word there means to put off, to take off, to rid oneself, or to stop, to lay aside. Here is the verse that lay aside the old self. And all that's saying is lay aside the weakness of the flesh in exchange for the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we have verse 23. It says, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth, of the truth. So notice the order here. You've got renewed in the spirit of your mind. What does that mean? That's just the reconditioning of your thinking. Isn't that what changed us all? We started at one point, and then we were renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then we got to the point of putting on the new self. There was a point or a process of you putting on this new self, believe it or not. So notice it doesn't say that you instantly are that new self. Because when you became a believer, you have to clothe yourself with the newness, to clothe yourself. This is not referring to the new creation that happened to you at the point of salvation. This is referring to we clothe ourselves with the Word of God by renewing the spirit of your mind. The word renew here means to complete a process, going up to a higher stage. See, this is referring to sanctification, which is always by God's power. This is a divine renewal. And then that's exactly what it tells us about the new self. Look what it says. Which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness and of the truth. So that's how we can be successful in and obedient, I might add, to being not being deceived by anyone. Just this verse tells it right here. Righteousness and holiness of the truth. So we could actually say that's the solution to deception. Is first it started with the righteousness that you received at salvation, and then the holiness that you're being formed into as a growing believer. That's your day-to-day walk. And then 1 Corinthians 2:11 through 14 are another good verse. Actually, let me read that. Starting at verse 11, it says, "For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God." Verse 13, "Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised." Now, this is referring to an unbeliever and a believer, but you get the point. It's the Spirit, the underlying reason of how we are renewed, taught, or being formed in such a way where we can put on the new self, as the verse told us earlier. So, that should be clear. And then the same concept of laying aside the old self is found in 1 Corinthians 5, 6, and 8. Let me read it. It says, "Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened." What is that? God's righteousness. That's a believer. You are in fact unleavened. So you've got to clean out the old leaven. "For Christ our Passover also has been sacrificed. Therefore let us celebrate the feast, not with old leaven," that's the old self, "nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." So there's truth is always the underlying reason on how we can clean out that old leaven and stay on top of it in such a way that is meaningful in our lives. Sometimes I've heard people translate this to mean this is speaking to unbelievers. But I can't make it say that. Actually, the verse itself says otherwise. It says, "You are in fact unleavened." This is referring to believers. That's referring to your position in Christ. And then we have one command in this verse. Can you see where it is? It says, "Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump." There you go. The only way to clean out the old leaven is through what? Well, first of all, the word clean here sure sounds familiar, doesn't it? Clean, cleansed. The only way to clean out the old leaven is through confession of sin. That's it. That's our option when it comes to cleaning. You can do a lot of housekeeping in your spiritual life, but this is the only one that actually allows you to be cleansed by the Holy Spirit. 1 John 1:9. So only reason I wanted to show you these was because that going from the former to where you are now, you could say the new lump or the new self, it takes truth and it takes flushing out the leaven. It takes flushing out this sin and these thought processes in us that we're so used to, that's maybe the only thing you know, And then when you make that switch into the believer, that's a process, right? So truth gives you the ability to recognize and make right decisions, and that's what you need in order to properly follow the command that we saw in Ephesians to not be deceived. And then we'll keep going. In Ephesians, it says, verse 6, it says, let no one deceive you with empty words. Empty words. We hadn't talked about that yet. The word empty here means words that are empty of truth or in vain. Words that have wrong motivations, purposes, or results. This includes half-truth, by the way. And these words are empty because they have no advantage to you. They don't look out for your best interest. And the person who speaks them really could care less about what they're doing and their effects to you. Empty words. What does it say? That for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. So that's comforting to know that even though we may be deceived at certain times, God will take care of those, and He looks out for us in that aspect. So disobedience here means that's a willful disobedience. Willful. A refusal to be convinced, refusal to be persuaded in the heart by God's Word is what this disobedience is. Wrath here means strong indignation directed at wrongdoing with a focus on retribution or wrath. So this is just the justice of God taking swift action in this area to punish those who deceive. That's Romans 1:18 is a good verse for that as well. And then we have Ephesians 5:7. It says, therefore, do not be partakers with them. You can see the conjunction is kind of the conclusion to this. Therefore, right? We talked about do not be deceived. We saw how not to do that. And now the therefore. Well, what's it there for? It's therefore to show us that do not be partakers with them. Don't be involved in this deceit, speaking empty words of deceit. And that's the end of verse 7. And I think I'm going to cut it short today, if everybody's okay with that. And we'll pick back up on Wednesday. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for everything that You do for us. We know that You have a reason, You have a plan and a purpose. We pray that we can come to an understanding of that purpose more and more each day so we can further love You and better understand our path in life to glorify You. We thank You for these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.